There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and easy to get in touch. It's all of us talking for the next couple of hours. The phone number and the text line, they're the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 to get through. In addition, you can use the TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. When you open up your app, which, by the way, if you don't have it, go grab it. It's free, and all you have to do is search our name, FM Talk 106.5, on the App Store for Apple users or Google Play for Android users. But look for FM Talk 106.5. Download the app. But when you are on the front page, you'll see a microphone there. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air as well. So we'll do that, and, we'll get updates from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Looks like this afternoon may be a repeat of yesterday. We got quite the thunderstorms yesterday, but we'll check in with that later. All right, I mentioned this morning, the morning show, it was good to get this man back in the studio. You'd think he'd have, you know, all kind of extra time after retiring as the mayor of Mobile. But Sandy Simpson, I think, sir, is maybe not as busy as mayor, but there's no moss growing on you.
No, there's not.
I mean, I don't think there ever has been. So no. But I mean, people think, all right, you're not the mayor anymore, so you're there in the lazy boy with the clicker there watching TV.
No. So, you know, November 1 was beginning of a new chapter of my life, and it worked well for November and December, and then things started changing. I was asked to be on the Port Authority and on the Airport Authority, and so I'm back in the fray, but it's all self-inflicted, and it's mm-hmm. a privilege to be a part of both of them.
I want to talk about that day one. I want to come back to that. But first, let's get important questions. Was it really, did Ms. Jean say, get gone? Get her?
No, she said, there's some cliches that you say about marrying for better or worse, but not for lunch. You know?
right.
When the opportunity came up about the airport, her comment was, you really need to go do that. She said, you need to be involved and make sure that things end up well.
Yeah.
So she's still supporting what I'm doing, so I'm grateful for that.
Okay.
But we do have the occasional lunch together.
You do? Okay, yes. Well, good. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, was day one, did you have, was it anything of note, you know, that November 1st, you retired on Halloween, right?
Yeah,
Halloween.
That's correct.
So November 1st, did you have that wake up, like, and say, did it feel different? Did it take some time?
It took a little time. Yes, it took time. The thing that you miss the most is somebody picking you up every morning, getting ready to drive you to work. And
right.
People seeing me driving, it's like they were scared. They wanted to go to the other side of the road and think I could still drive. But no, it didn't really take me a lot of adjusting, and I was surprised at that.
Because we're all wondering who's on the other side. Of course, this is, you're going into your third or fourth career here for us. But, I mean, people wonder, when I retire, what will that day one be like?
So I think it's different for everybody, Sean. In my particular situation, though, I had other things that I was doing, other interests. And so, and November and December being a very busy time of the year, mm-hmm. just with family and hunting and fishing and mm-hmm. stuff. So I was, engaged. And so I wasn't sitting around wondering what I was going to do. And I was getting questions about some of the things that I had done as the new mayor came in. And so occasionally I would get a phone call to reengage, and then there were questions about the airport. So I never sat around the house. I can't remember a single day that I sat around wondering what I was going to do.
Okay, this is the question that audience, just bear with us, because another mayor knew I would ask him this. How was your turkey season?
It was the best I've had since before I was the mayor.
Okay.
And so I'll say that, you know what the limit is, but I saw six die.
Nice.
You know, that's how the conversation goes these days. I killed three, and I called up three for grandchildren.
So, oh, my gosh. I think about how exciting it is for me to call up birds for other people, but for your grandkids, tell me.
It's awesome.
What's that feel like?
It's so exciting.
Are they like, settle down, granddad?
Yeah.
Settle down?
Look what you did. Okay, they were as excited as I was, okay?
That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a nice thing because you could go on the right mornings. You didn't have to go, well, I got to be down at the office here at 5
that's
in the
right.
morning.
That's right.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
So, 108th mayor of Mobile, but Mobile Airport Authority chairman. And the new title, we'll get a bigger, bigger business card for you. So you take this on. You come into the Airport Authority. Obviously, you didn't come in not knowing. As mayor, you were involved in the talk about the move of the airport. We're talking about BFM or the International Airport. So you were already kind of on that track, right? You didn't have to do a lot of remedial work.
So you say that, but in one regard, it took a lot of catching up. I mean, it really did. And so we went through the transition of Elliot Mazel, and Elliot did a great job from a fundraising standpoint, getting things teed up. Without his leadership, I'm not sure we would have been able to move it. Well, then we went through a transition. Luckett Robinson became the chairman, and at that point in time, all of a sudden there was a surprise of a cost overrun and how we're going to address that. And he did a magnificent job getting things back on budget. But one day during a conversation, he just said to me, he said, Mayor, I need some help. I don't have the number of hours that I need to dedicate to the airport and be part of my family business. And so since I had asked him to be the chairman, I could not, turn my back on him.
Right.
And so then we had some conversations with the mayor and teed it up so that I could become part of it. But truly, there are weeks when I work 40 hours a week on the airport. And so
So you did have ketchup.
It's hard to describe, but there are so many moving parts, I think, that the casual observer would not know.
Right.
And we're in a good spot now, but there's been a lot of effort by a lot of people to get us to where we are. And today we're on budget, but we're behind the schedule that we initially announced. But it's better to be a little bit under budget and make sure we get it right, because there's no soft opening on an airport.
No. You can't say, hey, we'll fix that tomorrow.
When you open, it's got to be right, and you have to move it in one night. Basically, we're buying a lot of new equipment. So,
right.
But still, there's a lot of things you have to transition in one night.
Because I was going to ask you that, but let's get on that.
Yeah.
This idea that, whatever day of the week it is. So it's like a Tuesday night, that late flight to Atlanta leaves, right? And then that's it. The flights the next morning start coming in to Brooklyn, right? I mean, it's going to be something like that. Last plane takes off out at Farmers, and then the next morning that next flight comes in, let's say the Atlanta flight comes in, the early, whatever comes in from Atlanta into Brooklyn. It'll be like that?
Be something like that. So we have hired a team, and that transition is called ORAT. That's the Operational Readiness and Transition.
Of course, there's an acronym for everything. Yes,
and so ORAT, and there's a lot of FAA airline acronyms that I still don't know, but they come in and they make sure that every system that you have, everything is ready to move, and how you actually transfer stuff from regional downtown. And so there'll be a game plan, and so we've hired a team that will work with our team, and together, we'll make sure that it's a smooth transition. But the checklist on getting that done, if you've started at the top of that wall, it go all the way down that wall and be another one right beside it.
It's quite the process. We're going to talk about that process. Also, the process of building out what we're looking at Brooklyn, and we'll do that with the chairman of the MAA and Mayor, 108th Mayor of the City of Mobile, Sandy Simpson, when we come back.
Hear the scores and the biggest sports news to start your day.
His year again. Rory is a rare repeat winner at Augusta.
Sports with Dalton Orwig, only on Mobile Mornings. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday, and great to have 108th Mayor of the City of Mobile, but the MAA Chairman, Sandy Stimson, in with us. And got a lot of questions, but gosh, I got to get questions from the text line as well. Let's see. First of all, Chad says, I still see Sandy around often. Still see him around often, working hard. I want to ask the mayor what accomplishment from his administration he was most proud of. There are many to pick from, and we are grateful for him.
Yeah. Well, I would say the number one thing, people really don't see it as an object, but it's the financial stability of the city. You know, sorting that out was probably number one because it allowed us to do everything else. And
that was a big, you came into office and we were, I don't know what we were about to go in credit rating, but it was not good.
Yeah. So that's number one. Number two, maybe annexation, you know, for the long-term growth and viability of the city. And then it'd be hard not to throw in there the arena. I mean, as you look at it going up and knowing what that could do for us, those would be probably the top three.
You know,
the airport, though, is right there with the arena, and it's going to be so transformative for the economic development and the growth of Mobile. So, but it's not completed yet.
Well, give it, and hopefully later on we'll come back to the arena. I want to talk about it, but give me that. So, having the airport downtown being transformative. Metrics or why? Why is it going to be
for the growth of the city and for, I would say, the quality of life for our citizens. They really don't need to be flying in and out of our sister cities, 60 miles from here. Mm-hmm. They need to be flying into Mobile. And in order for us to continue to grow and do that, the airport had to be moved. And I've had companies say, if you move that airport, you know, and we will have more get more direct flights, you know, we will fly from here. Well, it's an economic engine when you start doing that. And so it create more jobs here. And from the standpoint of it being close to downtown, it's close to Baldwin County, I mean, it's just going to help. And I keep saying the quality of life, and some people say, well, I don't fly. Okay. But there are a lot of people that are flying in here to do business. Mm-hmm. And as we grow our businesses, and they have, whether it's consultants or attorneys or whoever coming in, or customers coming in, it's just going to be easier, and it's going to facilitate the growth of everything that we're doing.
Is there a way to say, and you're correct, I mean, there's a line somewhere in town, and I don't know if that line moves because of rates for tickets or whatever, but there's a line where people go, I'm going to go east,
yeah.
The Pensacola thing. Right. I mean, you know, I come from an airline family. Right. So we live this world. They're going to go east. They're going to go west. You know, is there any there had been studies done to look at if the airport is at Brooklyn, people that from Baldwin County that would go east to Pensacola will now turn and come west?
Absolutely. The studies, there have been numerous studies doing it. And when somebody, let's say, leaves from the Baldwin County, and depending on where they live in Baldwin County, and they go to Pensacola, you call that leakage from what
could
be. And that's the word, leakage.
Leakage, all right.
And so you can start drawing. Matter of fact, we have a chart on it showing how many minutes it takes to drive to regional, mm-hmm. how many minutes it would take to drive to Brooklyn, and how many minutes it takes to drive to Pensacola. And so
there's a line probably somewhere there.
Yeah, you can look at it and say, and there are this many people that fly from Daphne that are going to Pensacola. I mean, so those numbers have been...
Those are real numbers.
They're
not
real
imagined.
Numbers. Yeah. Yeah, they're not imaginative. And so you can project what your growth should be. Now, there are other things to consider. It's like with all the construction and the traffic on I-10 going to Pensacola, you know, the people now that realize, and because of the parking challenge in Pensacola, they're realizing that, you know, regional, you know, maybe I ought to just fly out of regional. Right? Mm-hmm. But when they have the opportunity to fly out of Brooklyn versus getting in the traffic that's going to Pensacola, I think you're going to see a lot of people turn and go to Brooklyn.
And that's good. So you
that's what all the model shows.
There's X number of people, and that's for example. Okay, X number of people in Daphne, they're traveling here.
Yeah.
But if given that option, you have this many people to work with that might come to Brooklyn. All right. The John says, hello, Mr. Simpson. I have a question about the new airport. By the way, thank you for getting this done. Will the airport please have a nonstop flight to Nashville?
Great question. You know, the kind of the sequence of additional airline services is first you hope to get bigger and better planes wherever you're flying to, okay, instead of the regional jets. Okay? The second is that you hope to have more direct flights. And third is you hope to have another carrier in here, and you're working on all of those things simultaneously. But when you start talking about a direct flight to Nashville, to New York, Denver, Chicago, which happen to be the places that seem to be the most where there's the most
That's the top of the list there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep in mind those airlines though. Every gate in Chicago is full today. Every gate that you could fly into in New York is full. And so for them to accept Mobile, they've got to kick somebody off of a gate, and so we've got to convince them that ours is a better business model, a business proposition than whoever it is flying into that gate, so to speak.
Okay, so, I mean, somebody has to, I mean, there, it's musical chairs. Somebody for us to get a gate there, somebody has to lose.
That's exactly right, and nobody ever thinks about that. And it's something I didn't know, you know, 6 months ago.
Right.
But when we started calling on the airlines, you know, and we started putting the numbers together to try to convince them that that we're going to have this many more passengers flying, then all of a sudden it just kind of gelled, you know. Yes, now we go to this thing called Jumpstart Convention, and all the airlines there, every city that's trying to grow the airports there, everybody's talking about recovering leakage. But we were the only people there that said we're moving our airport closer to the center of the population that we're trying to serve. Everybody else was trying to come up with a way to entice people, you know, with some gimmick, so to speak.
Right.
Ours is not a gimmick. Ours is a $380 million investment trying to, you know, get closer to the where we need to be.
That got you some meetings, I bet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother deal of speed dating.
Is it?
And then you have 20 minutes to make your comments and make your pitch, and then you... somebody else comes and fills your seat. So I'm talking to Delta. There's four of us there talking, me and the mayor, me and Mayor Tricottis and two other people. We make our spiel, and you get up and move. And somebody else comes sit in your chair, and so it goes on, and they meet. That airline will meet with 16 people that day and 16 the next day. So it is high energy, and it's very competitive, but we have a good story to tell.
Yeah, that is a good one. If everybody else saying, hey, we're doing a Wacky Wednesdays or something at the airport to help with leakage, and you come in and say, well, we're physically having a new airport.
One thing about it, though, is the airports, they, like everybody says, they make decisions based on data, and we hear that in every business. They want to see the data. Well, the data is backwards looking. It's looking back, okay, of what should happen. And we can show them the projection on what it should be, but they really want to see that Mobilians or the people that can fly out of Brooklyn are going to do it, and they kind of believe us, but they want to see an increase in the passengers.
Sure, they want a sure thing. Well, who wouldn't?
That's exactly right.
I mean, who doesn't want a sure thing?
Yeah.
Marty asks here. So, what steps are being taken to make the downtown airport more business friendly? In today's world, people fly immediately. People on a Monday have to be in Chicago on Wednesday. People are not going to fly coach for $1,200 one way. Doesn't matter who's paying for it. The fares have not been business friendly. What is being done to change that?
Okay, so changing the fares, a competition is going to have a lot to do with that. And actually, the more people that fly out of Mobile, it will help that because then you can get a competitor, maybe have two people flying to D.C., so to speak, okay? But the other thing is that there's a number that all the airlines look at, and it's called the cost per employment, CPE, cost per employment.
Another acronym here.
Okay, and so in Mobile, we're probably like $12 to $14.
Right? Okay.
And the legacy carriers, that's probably okay, all right? In Pensacola, they're probably $5.50. Well,
oh wow!
So that helps the airlines. Okay, the airlines are looking at that number. So the way you arrive at that number is that you take your operating cost, and this is generalizing. Okay, you take your operating cost and you divide by the number of people flying.
Okay.
Well, if you change the number of people flying, which is the denominator, and you go from 300,000 to 500,000, and your expenses don't go up proportionally, okay?
That's what I was wondering. Just operating costs doesn't track
CPE
exactly.
Your CPE goes down, and then that helps the airlines make more money. Well, the all of the airlines look at it, but the low-cost carriers, they really look at it.
Their margins are tight, yeah.
They really look at that number. And so we're going to we'll be announcing, I don't know exactly when we'll be announcing it, but everybody thinks that because we've got this, you know, $380 million investment in the airport that our CPE could go up. Well, this is a way for it not to go up, and we've got a group of people that know how to do it. They're coming in, and so we're very hopeful that we're going to be able to show that we're going to be able to be much more competitive than we have been.
I'll be throwing the acronym CPE around all weekend and showing off. Coming right back, more Sandy Stimson.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, by the way, coming up tomorrow on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, need to listen to Kevin Anson, who is head of MRD, Marine Resources Department for the state of Alabama, along with Dr. Sean Powers, University of South Alabama, Marine Sciences and Dolphin Island Sea Lab, joined Mike Ward and me, and we'll talk about, here we are, kind of second half, the back nine of offshore fishing season, how our snapper numbers looking and all that. We'll talk about all that tomorrow on the show starting at 7. All right, continue our conversation. Always great to get this man in studio, and for a long time, it was me talking to him about being mayor of the city of Mobile. I still can talk about that, but we're talking about the Mobile Airport Authority and BBFM, right? So it's, well, by the way, too, let me ask you, it's Mobile, it's international.
Yes.
Now, how do we get the,
so
how do we get the certification? Do you got to fly one plane
in? It has to give you that designation or say that you can use it. And so, you know, really to be truly international, you've got to have the customs capability. Well, because of being the port, we've got customs capability in Mobile. And so we've actually flown some international flights out of the low-cost terminal at Brooklea, going straight to Canada with Airbus teams. We're not doing it right now, but there was a period when there was a lot of flights. I mean, it was a couple times a week, okay,
yeah.
Taking people back and forth to Montreal or Mirabel, Canada, and those international flights. So we'll be able to do it, but that's not going to be the first thing that happens when we move
right,
airport.
It's not a bunch of Acapulco traffic out of here, but I do like when I hear international, I always wonder, like, okay, how do you certify that or something? Yeah. It sounds like you do. All right, very good. I wanted to run through a couple more texts here quickly. Several people have asked about this, and Gulf Shores has made a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
Airport and Gulf Shores made a lot of news and growth and... Now, the latest news this week, somebody's trying to smuggle cannonballs they took from Fort Morgan out through, that's a whole other story. They were like trying to smuggle them out through TSA. Go look, it's on our Facebook page. But that growth down there, is that going to be an issue for y'all with Brooklea? Is that complimentary? Is it removing these people? What do you see?
Obviously, they've done a really good job, and it's really all tourism. You know, people that, and the airlines recognize, and they can fly a direct flight from a certain location, whether it's Nashville or wherever, to, you know, directly to Gulf Shores, and they can fill it up. And because of the number of condominiums, hotel rooms that are available, I mean, it's going to work, and it will continue to probably grow, similar to what has happened in the Destin Fort Walton Beach Airport.
Yeah, that wouldn't grow pretty well, too.
Whether that's going to hurt us or not, there will be some bleeding off to that. But most of ours, you know, a lot of business travel, and it's not just going to the beach. So those beach people, some of them will fly here and drive there. But, yes, it'll have an impact.
Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, and I've got about four or five people had asked about that, but just in general. Okay, this one said, Sean and Mr. Stimson, are there any flights currently out of Brooklyn? We flew from there years ago and had a great experience, I guess, at the low-cost.
Yes, those were the low-cost carriers, and those, you know, they changed. Some of them left out right during COVID. But there's no flights out of Brooklyn today, commercial flights. And so, you know, we'll be changing that pretty soon.
That low-cost carriers we talked about. We talked about that implanement fee.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about it, mm-hmm. You look at a Delta versus a low-cost carrier, what are the, you know, legacies versus low-cost. Yeah, you got to pay extra for a bag. You got to do this. The margins are tighter.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's how they you know, the jet fuel price is the same for both, you know, aircraft, but they have this lower rate. So how they do it, they're saving money here and there. So what makes an airport the right? You got these lower costs. Like you said, you have to get this implanement fee down. What else are they looking for? What makes them more efficient or makes them want to come here to be more efficient?
Well, it's going to be the number of passengers, the number of people they can put on the airplane. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to, like, you cannot have a low cost per employment out of a great big terminal. That's why we built the low-cost terminal. And
gotcha.
We will still be able to fly out of the low-cost terminal when we start this.
Oh, really? So it's it's still going to exist?
It may. Well, as a matter of fact, it's still there.
Right.
It's just not being used. But there's a high probability that it will be used when we open the airport or shortly after we open it.
Oh, that's interesting.
As the traffic picks up. And one thing that maybe seemed counterintuitive, and this is something that was explained to me by some of the consultants that we have, is that the legacy carriers, you know, there's a little bit of, I'm trying to say the right word. From the competition standpoint, you know, they don't really want a whole lot of the low-cost producers competing with them. But what's happened in a lot of these airports where the low-cost producers have come in, where they've not been with, but just the legacy carriers, it helped everybody. Like the rising tide, you know, raised all boats. Now,
but how does that work?
I do not know how that works. That's just what the consultants have explained to me.
Okay. I mean, that's their job to know. But when they give you how that works, please let me know. I mean, I find it interesting. Yeah. And speak, you've talked about consultants a couple times, and we talked some off the air, but you had board meeting last month, I guess. Yeah, in June. We're still in July today. Yes, in June. In the discussion, I was just reading the stories about that, about consultants. The value of consultants, from your perspective here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
hugely important. And the reason is that we've been operating an airport. Operating an airport, let's just say it's like maybe driving your car.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people out there that can do that. But moving an airport and starting up a new airport may be like a mechanic, you know, somebody that knows how to build that car or put that thing together. And so the consultants that have relocated airports or added on to airports and started them up, we don't have that expertise.
Right.
And so you can't just fly blind and hope that you're going to get it right. So we're of the opinion now that we've hired a team of consultants that will come in and look at every aspect of what we're doing and make sure that we get it right when we make this move. Because in-house, we've got, again, very qualified, highly motivated people. But if you haven't done it, you don't want to be on the job training with as much as it at stake that we have right now. I mean, this huge investment, it's got to be right.
You just think about all the nuance. We had actually talked during one of the breaks about the carousels. Y'all think about this, the carousels for the luggage that comes out, getting that, you know, delivered. I mean, that's a big deal. And then the jetways.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. I know how to find a lot of stuff. Jetways, I don't know where to go buy those. I don't know what a good deal on one is.
I think it was Utah where we got the jetways. It was in the Netherlands where we got the baggage claim. But the jetways are all installed. The most recent photographs of the airport show that they're installed. They really look good and they're really nice, which they should be. Carousel's going in as we speak. And really, Sean, the substantial completion of the building will be done the end of September. Okay. And so from September to the opening day is all about finessing everything and making sure everything is right. And there's still a lot of interior decoration, a lot. I mean, what you have now is two glass walls on the front and the back and two end walls that are sheetrock, so to speak. And so now we've got to start making it have a sense of place for Mobile. And it's going to take a while to do that. But anyway, that's where we are.
That's going to be interesting to see, you know, how we tell our story there, because you and I had also talked about, like, you know, you go to Denver and it looks like Denver, man. We're in the West. We got the horses, got those, you know, go to different airports and you're going somewhere in the Northeast. I mean, you go into Massachusetts and they have, you know, kind of crabbing thing and fishing thing and that kind of look at old lighthouse, you know where you are. So how do we tell that story here?
So we're going to all find out. I know that the designers and the architects are working on it. And we probably 2 years ago, we probably had 15 or 20 people that were representing different aspects of Mobile, representing Africatown, representing Mardi Gras. And but you can't take every single thing that we are and put it in there.
Right.
So it's got to synthesize it down to where it looks good, and it feels good, and it's functional. And so it's not all quite complete just yet, but I think it's going to be really good.
You know, people asking, like, Scott, have y'all looked whether the consultants are beforehand with the issues with the Bayway, right? So you're inviting these people, like the cohort you talked about from Daphne. I know you looked a bunch, but there's all these people, and some of them are leaking to the east to go to Pensacola. Does that come into the equation?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it does. Because, you know, it's, let's say, 5 years before the bridge is built, okay?
Knocking on wood for 5 years, but yes.
That's right. And so there'll be some construction delays, you know, because of that. But so, yes, you factor that in there. But I still think people are going to come to Mobile unless something really horrendous happens with the bridge. They'll be coming from Baldwin County. The closer they are to the bay, the greater the probability that they're going to come to Brooklyn. Okay, the closer you get to Pensacola, obviously, they'll probably continue going to Pensacola.
You probably can't share with me, I don't know, where that line is. There's probably a map somewhere where there's a line drawn down through Baldwin County where that breakpoint is. Like,
I haven't seen a line drawn, but I have seen, seemed like I've seen a chart with the numbers about how many people fly out of the various cities and how many we expect to capture. Yeah, there's a number there, but I don't know where the line is.
You talk about back to the low-cost carriers as well. Is it something you can say plural, meaning not with the opening, but could this be projected, or if you talk to the consultants, would a market our size have more than one ever, or would that be – is it like one low-cost carrier and that's kind of it?
Just because you move an airport – does not guarantee you that you're going to have a low-cost carrier or more direct flights. It's some of the things that I said. Mobilians have got to show that we're going to fly out of here, and there's a greater demand. The airline services will follow demand. If people show that they want to fly out of here...
Then somebody comes... Is it like building two auto parts stores across the street from each other, though? That, you know, because they realize somebody's got it figured out, there's traffic count here. I wonder if you have a low-cost carrier come in, and they stick around... If their competitors go, must be something to it.
If we show the demand, you could end up with a couple of low cost carriers here. And my projection is, or prediction is that you will. It will not be on day one, okay? Just because on day one you're not going to have another 150,000 people or 150,000 more flights. Or people wanting to fly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it right there.
Yeah, but there would be, maybe that's a habit builder. So whatever low-cost carrier comes in, now people that might have gone elsewhere or not, that I'm sure y'all have, I know y'all have studied that, the people that aren't flying right now, but if given these low-cost carriers and given this new airport, that they're currently people who drive 8 or 9 hours somewhere that we go, to heck with it, honey, let's fly.
Oh, the flights to Denver and the ones to Chicago that we had, and there were people that weren't really, so they had no reason maybe to go to Chicago other than I can fly out there for, you know, $80.
That's right.
And so now I'm going to go to Chicago.
So there is some of that.
Yes, it is.
Like, you take people, because, you know, we're all, at least my mind's working like, okay, here's people flying out of all these different airports around here. How do you get them to come to Berkeley? But then there's folks that right now, they're not planning to fly anywhere. They don't want, but if you gave them an option, I told you about the low-cost thing for Denver.
Yeah.
I use that so much because I like, it got me to Colorado, but from there I could get flights out west and all the places I like to go. But there's people that, like you said, they probably wouldn't have gone to Denver except, if I can do it for that, heck, honey, let's go see Denver.
So we will have a specialist that all they do is air services agreements, okay? And there'll be an air services consultant, and they will help us talk to all the airlines, making the case for them to take the risk to come to Mobile. And then it gives us the opportunity to show them that we can make it work.
And that's the challenge.
That is the challenge. So when you ask who's responsible for making this airport successful, I could say you. And when I say that, I don't mean collectively everybody. I'm talking about individually people making a decision to fly out of Berkeley.
All right. Coming right back, your text and calls, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, 251-343-0106. The 108th mayor of the city of Mobile and MAA chairman, Sandy Stimson, our guest. Okay, I want to ask question here about the regional terminal. We've focused on Berkeley, but what happens at regional when the move, you know, which I liked, if y'all didn't hear earlier in the show, what you said was there will be some night where the last flight takes off out of regional, and then that's it. The next morning, they start flying into Berkeley.
Right. So every conversation that we're having from an economic development standpoint, and I think this is probably true for the economic development team at the Chamber, we're prizing people that we're interested in ideas for the use of regional. There's about 3,000 acres out there. We have the Coast Guard out there. You have Airbus out there. You have an FBO out there. And so it will continue to operate to support those things. It will not be a commercial airport, okay? We don't want to be flying low-cost carriers out there.
And then legacy,
so to compete with ourselves. But we are, and it's like this past week, we had a team in London for the London Air Show. Mm-hmm. That's where all the airlines are, the suppliers, where the military is. And so there were several conversations with people about we have this facility available. And because of our close proximity to the testing that can go on in the Gulf of Mexico, we're of the opinion that whether some drone manufacturer, military use.
What should we smile? I hope you get it. We get that.
Those are the things that go through our mind, you know. And also, you hope that somebody like a UPS, FedEx, or somebody will say, you know, this is an opportunity because it's a great airfield and a good location. So
there's a lot of acreage.
The balls are there, but of that total acreage, Sean, you know, a lot of it was purchased over the last 25 years because they were going to expand regional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those plans are no longer
viable. Was that
viable?
Why? I didn't know if it was for some kind of perimeter around it or something. It's for expansion.
Yeah, huh. But that's not going to happen. And so I could see the western part of that property going back into residential real estate at some point in time.
People asking that question here. So, I mean, that area, the heading over towards Snow Road.
Exactly. There's no reason for it not
to. So you don't have to have, in my mind, there's some kind of setback, or you don't have to have that.
No. We do not have a marketing brochure put together saying, you know, we're really willing to sell this, you know, 800 acres or 200 acres or whatever. But that's coming. But that could be, you know, 8 months from now. We've got to get this airport open. That's our primary focus. But then we'll figure out what, and we are thinking about it, but we don't. It's not the most important thing, so sure. We're not driving it. We're not pushing it right now.
But it is.
But it's out there because it's an asset that's really not producing anything. And so we need to divest ourselves of that, take the capital, pay down any debt that we may have incurred because of the new construction. So we're looking at everything that we have from an asset standpoint that's not producing revenue and saying, do we really need to keep it?
And what about we're talking about the land. What about the physical structure there?
So that building is probably older than about 60 years old or so. It's in pretty tough shape. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's tired. Mm-hmm. It's real tired. And so it'll be interesting to see what we ultimately do with that, and it's going to depend on who would like to, there may be somebody that wants to come in and lease that. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see. But I could also see about 70% of it being demolished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So when we ride down airport and we look at it, might be a different perspective there, not seeing the same building we've seen all those years.
Well, I think the part that would be where all the gates are. So right. The front that where you go in to get the ticket counter and all, I could see somebody using that and converting that into office space.
Very good.
Or to support whatever they may be doing on the airfield.
Exciting. Okay, you're going to come back and visit with me as we go forward towards this opening day.
Yeah. Right. But make sure of those first flights that out here, Sean, that you've got tickets and that you're on them.
Okay, we'll make that deal. Thank you. Great to see you.
Good seeing you. Thank you.